We are going to continue on, and we're going to jump down back to proposals, 13 River Otter proposal and status update. Welcome back, sir.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, John Canta, Terrestrial Section Chief again here. Next up, we have the River Otter trapping and hunting season. And as with beaver, if you don't mind, I'd like to have Alex Solem come up here and give us a presentation on just some recap of the river otter season, some other biological data that we collect and such. And that'll be a nice lead into our action sheet here and recommendation.
Thank you, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Alex Solem, Senior Wildlife Biologist out of the Huron office. Like John said, I'm going to be going over how we monitor river otter populations and do a little bit of recap on the last 4 years that we've had for harvest. So take it away. So river otters are extremely difficult to monitor. Actually just went to a fur bear meeting 2 weeks ago. We held it in Sioux Falls. It was a great success. Learned a lot from a lot of the adjacent Midwest fur bear biologists, and I picked their brain a lot. And a lot of the comments that they had were, they are really hard to count. They're super secretive. They live in hard to reach places. They're diurnal, so they usually come out in early mornings, late nights, staff time, energy, all that sort of stuff to actually monitor these species, make it dang near impossible. So we have to use every tool in the toolbox that we have in order to monitor them. So we don't rely on just going out and counting these animals to give us a good index of what their population is. We have to use multiple sources in order to, really kind of hit the bullseye on what the opportunity we have for these critters. I'm gonna go back one. So in order to do that in South Dakota, we do this in multiple ways. One of them is opportunistic reports, and this comes from the public and our staff. These opportunistic reports include sightings, signs, incidental harvests taken both by our WDS staff that might be addressing beaver complaints, or incidental trapping events that occur during the normal trapping season. We do classify these incidental reports either verified, probable, or unfounded. A lot of the justification for season setting processes and looking at the index population is done based on these verified reports, and that usually includes very knowledgeable trapper or biologist looking at the tracks and signs and verifying that it's river otter, or a photo. So every incidental harvest that we get, we do necropsies on. We can look at pregnancy rates. We also do canine aging, where we send the canine teeth off to Madsen's lab, where they actually age it much like a tree ring. And from there, we can come at an age at harvest, and we can actually do a backdating population modeling where it's a cumulative of what age class they were. So if a individual was harvested at 6 years old, we know it accumulated in the population for the last 6 years. And we can take that, and that gives us a really good idea of what the population trajectory is. In 2020, we actually started doing a little bit more intensive sampling using a stream survey. I've spoke about that numerous times here, but this is sampling within the Big Sioux River, which is kind of the stronghold from where our otters are, as well as where the initial release site was. So we figured if we could establish a long-term monitoring program there, we could, potentially branch out into other areas. So we're currently, or this September, we'll be doing this on our last stream stretch. And then in addition to that, we also do harvest surveys where every single otter that's harvested during the season, the person is required to check in that otter to receive their CITES tag, where we ask them questions on whether they targeted it, how many traps they put out, how many nights they trapped, because we can come up with a catch per unit effort. And in lightly trapped populations, a catch per unit effort is pretty indicative of, how their population is doing. And that's backed by literature. So here's just a graph of the opportunistic reports that we've gotten in the past 25 years or so. We're still collecting them for 2025, but you can see here, dating back all the way to 1999, we've seen a really steady increase on opportunistic reports, both by staff and by the public, and a vast majority of them are verified. This does not include even our incidental catches. So This is just citing signs and that sort of thing. So you can see here, you know, with the upward trend of our opportunistic reports, we can assume that the population is probably increasing. Looking at incidental catches in particular, our department does a really good job with messaging to make sure that, you know, we're messaging these guys that have the trapper or the trapping or fur bearer licenses, trying to avoid catching otters as much as you can. Our WDS staff do a great job too of sliding conibear bear traps that catch to the side, allowing otters to swim through it freely, trying not to put otter or trying not to put traps in, you know, high otter use areas to try to minimize the incidental trapping events the best we can. However, you know, traps are non-discriminatory and they catch what's in it. So we do get a fair amount of incidental catches here. You can see that we, from the last 25 years, that we have seen an increase annually with our incidental catches. Obviously, they spike here and there. There's a little bit of noise in the data. It always depends on what the conditions are for trapping. If you have a late spring with, you know, ice coming out late during prime beaver trapping, you're probably going to catch a few otters. As well as if you have an early winter time in November, if ice comes on really, really early, it doesn't, you know, those beaver trappers aren't going out there as much as they probably could. And you're also going to catch fewer otters here. But overall, our incidental catches has increased from a five-year average in like 2019 to about that, from 17 to about 27 in the last 5 years. So we've seen a steady increase of this. The first initiation of the season, we were kind of hoping that some of those incidental catches that we got could be displaced by a season. However, with 5 years of a season currently, we haven't seen a displacement in incidental catches. We've just seen that number be fairly consistent, and this does also indicate that the population is probably steadily growing. So this is kind of a cool GIF. I think I said that right. GIF of our verified reports. So you can see here, I'll let it play through a couple times, but we have incidental reports predominantly on the Big Sioux and in northeast South Dakota, but we are steadily seeing an increase of them westward. Just let it play through one more time. So you can see here, this is through 1990 to present. This doesn't include all of the West River reports. This is just predominantly in what we consider, you know, prime river otter habitat. But you can see a westward expansion. So obviously, these river otters have filled their suitable habitat or are filling their suitable habitat in eastern South Dakota, and they're moving into what we consider more suitable habitat, you know, farther westward. So the movements is actually occurring, and it's pretty indicative by the reports moving west. We have, especially in Brown County, we have reports there in the last 4 years, and we've never had reports there, you know, since they were actually released. So we are seeing a westward expansion, albeit, you know, relatively slow, but in our action plan and our management plan, we're all for the suitable or otters moving into suitable habitat just on their own. A lot of the West River tributaries, specifically the Little White River, which was addressed in comments earlier, you know, it is considered potential there for otter habitat based on that MelQuest paper. However, he also mentioned that you know, the variability in water and the pooling of water, there's that might influence prey availability, or in drought years, it would obviously influence where otters actually occur on that. So even though we do have in eastern South Dakota, there is potential there for them to move west, as we're seeing with our reports. However, the water variability in a lot of these streams, West River, kind of is a limiting factor for distributing or for these critters to move west. So this is a good graph of our population backdating. So again, this comes from the data that we have from our necropsy. So again, we're looking at those canine teeth. We're counting the rings just like we would a tree if we were an arborist. This does exclude the legally harvested otters. So these are all just opportunistic incidentals from our own staff issuing or dealing with beaver complaints, as well as just incidental trapping events from our licensed fur trappers. You can see here the population trajectory is really strong. It's increasing pretty steadily. The problem with it is we can't use Anything that, any otter that has been, you know, is still alive today, hasn't quite contributed to this data set yet, it has to be harvested in order for us to actually add the ages and the years that actually occurs to this model here. But you can see here since, you know, 1997 when, or 98 when the critters were first reintroduced back into the state, that we've seen a steady incline in their population trajectory. So going a little bit into our latrine survey, again, this occurs on the Big Sioux River. So we have 23 transects ranging anywhere from 1 to 3.5 miles. You can see a map there. What we do is we actually kayak down these stretches of river. We put in at a bridge and come out on a bridge. Two observers will search the shorelines and look for latrines. When we locate a latrine, we take a GPS point and we actually sample the fluids from the individual, so it be scat or other bodily fluids. We'll send those results into a lab in Idaho, and they actually are able to identify that particular scat to an individual. And we can come up with kind of an index to abundance, looking at how many otters we were able to recover based on how many kilometers of stream we were able to survey. In addition to this, this does give us the opportunity to do a mark recapture kind of study, or look at other avenues for occupancy rates. Right now we have 3 years of data, currently kind of crunching numbers on that, seeing what it's like. But we do have an objective in our River Otter Action Plan to kind of look into this a little bit more appropriately, continue to see what type of data we have for this last year sampling that we have, and then apply certain models to it and see, you know, how that data actually turns out. So here, there's the results. We did a pilot study in 2020, but we actually did a real study in 2021. You can see here, going through, just the raw data, we're staying pretty consistent with the number of transects that were actually surveyed that have a latrine. We're staying fairly consistent with the number of latrines that we're actually detecting on these ones. So we're not seeing a dip in any, you know, based on harvest. And this is where a lot of our harvest actually occurs, is along the Big Sioux and kind of the counties that are adjacent to it. We were able to, you know, turn in about over 100. Last year was 124 samples. And in 2021, 2022, and 2023, we had 31, 26, and 26 individual otters detected, respectively, in about 10,000 kilometers of stream lake actually surveyed. One of the cool things is in 2022 and 2023, we actually had 4 otters and 5 otters respectively recaptured on these latrines, indicating that, you know, we have the opportunity to do this mark recapture study that we want to do, or spatially explicit recapture models. The otters per kilometer that our estimate is just kind of that naive occupancy rate stayed relatively consistent. We're at 0.28 in 2021, but the last couple years we've been at that 0.24, so that's stayed relatively unchanged as well. So those are just the ways that we monitor river otter populations. And again, we don't rely on one of those metrics, you know, solely to determine how the population is doing. We have to look at the whole picture. In doing this, the current season structure that we have for river otters at this time is we have a November 1 start date. We have a harvest limit of 20 otters. It's one otter per fur bearer license holder per season. They have a 24-hour reporting period. So once it's catched, they have 24 hours to contact me directly. From there, I take down some initial information, put it on a live dashboard so the trappers can look at this live, up to date, and know how close we are to getting that harvest limit before the season actually closes. And then we'll transfer that information to a regional office in eastern South Dakota, where they go in and turn in their carcass. We collect that catch per unit effort data, and they actually receive their CITES tag. So they had to do this within 5 days, and hasn't been a problem in the last 4 years or the last 5 years that we've had the season. So it's fun really well. Talking with a lot of the trappers, they're super thrilled to even have the opportunity of it to trap one and keep one. There's a few old timers that have caught multiple incidentals when we didn't have a season, and now they're able to actually keep one of the individuals that they've inherently caught in the past, and they're tickled pink. So some of the historic numbers, 2020 was, again, the first season that we had. The first harvest limit of that was 15, but we've maintained at 20 for the last 4 years. We usually reach our harvest limit within anywhere from 10 to 15 days. 2023 took 18. It was just a weird year. There was kind of a lull in reporting, and it was super nice out, and I don't know if it's just people weren't, you know, I don't know the direct reason behind it, but it just, you know, there's always going to be that noise, you know, based on how trappers are going out and when they're actually targeting these ones. So you can see that we've had, you know, relatively stable juvenile population on these harvested individuals, indicating that reproduction is occurring and occurring at a pretty substantial rate. And at the same time, we're harvesting a fair number of adults. So it's not like we're harvesting a ton of adults that are over 2 years of age, indicating that no reproduction is occurring. So we have a breeding population in South Dakota, and they are replacing themselves. One of the interesting things that I think too is that catch per unit effort has been a little variable, but it has stayed relatively the same over the course of these 4 years too, or 5 years, just indicating that, you know, effort isn't increasing substantially in order to catch these things. And again, like I stated earlier in this presentation, that catch per unit effort is a good indice on how you know, what the population level is actually doing, and roughly half to more are actually targeting otters. But we do get a fair amount of folks that, you know, they're your traditional beaver trappers, and like I've said in my beaver presentation and this otter presentation, that they go hand in hand. Where there's usually beavers in South Dakota, you're probably going to find some otters too. So I believe that is the last. Yep, that is the last slide I have, and I'm able to field any questions if you have any.
Any questions for Alex? Alex, could you tell me again, what rivers do you monitor?
So we, through the chair. So we do Big Sioux, the Big Sioux only right now. We are still looking at the feasibility of potentially expanding into the James River and like the Whetstone and that sort of stuff in northeast South Dakota. It's not a super labor intensive survey. However, it does take some time. We give ourselves about a month leeway in order to search these 23 transects. So it's kind of one of those things where we're evaluating whether or not we can use the Big Sioux as kind of our indicator stream for potentially increasing or decreasing the harvest limit and seeing how the population is doing. So we're still kind of in the stages of that. We want to crunch the numbers completely before we, you know, determine whether or not we're going to bring it into other waterways.
Do we see any depredation issues? Damage to landowners' land from the otters?
Sure. Yeah, we have documented depredation issues. We probably in the last 5 years, I think we've had two. So it's one of those things where we are seeing an increase. I mean, albeit going from zero to two is a 200% increase, but at the same time, when you didn't have any to go into a few, it does indicate that, you know, these critters are obviously, you know, potentially causing some damage and increasing in population status.
Very good, thank you, Commissioner Locken.
Commissioner Locken here. It appeared that there was one sighting in Bennett County. Was that correct?
Correct. Yes, through the chair.
Did we put that, or how did that otter get there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll put that into context. Part of a MelQuest study in 2015 that one of the commenters had. Or commented on earlier, those are actually two translocated otters that were taken from the Big Sioux and put in that refuge to see if they would survive. They did for a while, but then both of them ended up dead. If I remember right, there was no known cause to why they actually perished. However, yeah, they were put there intentionally.
Thank you.
You bet.
Additional questions? Very good. Thank you.
All right, Madam Chair, I'll roll right into the action sheet here. And thank you, Alex, again, for the great presentation and that information. It makes my job really easy. One thing I wanted to start with is just to talk about what a success story this is. So, you know, as recent as 2020, these animals were listed as a state threatened species, and staff worked hard to develop surveys, a lot of those that Alex spoke about, and the different things that we can do to come up with trend indices and understand what's going on with the population. So surveys and research, and then, of course, those translocations. And so, again, what a success story. We were able to build these animals' populations back up. bring them back, and then ultimately offer recreational opportunity here. So I just wanted to mention that, and I think that's kind of exciting and great things that our department does. So as Alex mentioned, really restrictive season, right? It's resident only. It's a month of November and December, and then we have that limit of one per resident trapper. And then the unit, as he mentioned, is those counties in eastern South Dakota, and that there's a map there on your second page, and it's also got the locations of harvest there for you, just to give you some idea of where those animals are being harvested. Currently, that harvest limit is at 20. What we're recommending here today is to increase that harvest limit to 30. So again, based on all that information that Alex went over, we see an increasing population and expanding population, healthy population, and great things to see, you know, with us just taking them off that state threatened species list. So we're really excited about that. We're still approaching this as kind of a crawl, walk, run. You know, we had some discussions about just opening the season up unlimited for those 2 months, and we think we might be able to sustain that. But, you know, with us just delisting it and things going so well, we thought the next step is to just increase this harvest limit a bit, see how things go for the next couple of years, and then evaluate. And as Alex mentioned, there's some other things that we're working on that will give us even a better understanding of the population and more confidence in where we can go from here. So with that, Madam Chair, we would recommend today that the Commission take action to increase that harvest limit on the river otters from 20 to 30. And I would take any questions.
Very good questions. See no questions, we do need a motion. Motion to approve by Commissioner Teal.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Locken. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, you can approve by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? It is approved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And we are going to continue.